year is dedicated as a, for Refuah Shleima Malka Bas Tamar, that she have a complete Refuah. Refuah Shleima and Refuah Shleima for all those who need a Refuah. B'teich Klal Yisrael. This week's parasha is a double one. Matos Masei. There's always a double parasha, especially when it's not a leap year, in a time of sadness, as we are currently in the 3 weeks. We have Matos Masei, a double parasha now. There's a double parasha during the Yemei HaSfira, when we mourn the loss of the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. We have B'Habu Chukosei at that time. And there's always a Chazak during a difficult time. We have a Chazak now, we have a Chazak then during the Yemei HaSfira, and there's a Chazak right during the time of Asara B'Teves. Asara B'Teves is always in the week of Parshas Vayechi. Either it was right before or right after, which Vayechi is Shabbos Chazak of Sefer Bereishis. The Torah gives us the encouragement, Chizuk, during difficult times. We have a Chazak smack in the middle of the 3 weeks of the most tragic period of time throughout the year. A double parasha, as we mentioned in a previous year, symbolizes the unity of the Jewish people, because as we know, every Yid has a letter in the Sefer Torah. So a parasha is sort of a community of Jews. Two parashas are two different communities, and the fact that we connect the two parashas is a symbol, is a sign of achdus, of the unity of Klal Yisrael. In this case, especially when we have two totally different parashas that really are on their own, and we combine them, it is a sign of the unity of Klal Yisrael, especially when we're talking about uniting with Jews that are not necessarily our own type. Tolerating others, tolerating those that have different menhagim, dress differently. As long as they're from Am Yisrael, we unite. And being that the Yemei HaSfira, as well the 3 weeks, was a time in which there was lack of unity, the strife, the machloikis, the sinah, the sinas chinam, is what caused the tragedy of the 3 weeks, what causes the Churban Beis HaMikdash. This is a time, therefore, to unite. And that's why we learn now about the war of Midian. There's a tremendous, the Torah elaborates tremendously, which is unusual, on this topic of Melchemes Midian. Melchemes Midian is actually a continuation of the story in the previous parasha and the parasha before that, where the Benois Midian are sent out into Machne Yisrael to be Machti Klal Yisrael, causing them to intermarry and to worship Avodah Zarah. Last week we read about Pinchas and how Pinchas kills Zimri, stops the Magefa, and this week it seems to be finalized, at least that's what it looks like, that the final war with Midian is taking place here, where Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Nekoyim nikmas b'nei Yisrael me'eis ha-Midyonim. And then, achar te'osef el amecha, and the Torah goes into detail exactly who went to battle, how many they captured, and they split the loot, and they had to give a meches to Elazar, and then to the Levim, as the Torah discusses at length in Parshas Matos. This comes right after the Torah talks to us about Nedarim. What is the connection between the parasha of Nedarim and Melchemes Midian? We also, this Shabbos, bench the new month of Menachem Av. Menachem Av is the month that is coming. Mishenichnes Av Mema'atin B'Simcha. Av is a very difficult month, a sad month, that will turn around and, of course, be a very happy month. But since Churban Beis HaMikdash, during the first 9 days of Av, we are mourning the loss of our Beis HaMikdash, and the most tragic time of the year is during these 9 days. Parshas Matos Masei usually is the Shabbos that takes us into the month of Menachem Av. As we mentioned, every month corresponds to another Shevet. There are 12 Shvatim, there are 12 months. Menachem Av is the month of Shimon. Shimon, he traveled fifth in the desert. He's the fifth the way in the order of the way they traveled, as we read in Parshas Bamidbar. As the Arizal taught, that's how we consider the order when we are comparing the months to the Shvatim. We go by the order of the way they traveled in the desert. And Av is the Chodesh HaChamishi. as we read in this week's parasha. We talk in this week's parasha about the patira of Aaron b'chodesh hachamishi be'echad la'chodesh. The Torah refers to Av as the fifth month. And it's interesting how the Torah talks to us here about the patira of Aaron and Rosh Chodesh Av, which always falls out at this time. Even though in Parshas Chukas, where it's the first time that it's mentioned that Aaron passes away, it does not tell us what day it was. Here the Torah tells us what day it was, when it's the time, when it's in the vicinity of Rosh Chodesh Av. Shimon is the angry Shevet. Shimon is the one who is a zealot and who has Kaas in him. He has Kaas in him for good reasons. He is the one who takes revenge from Shechem. Together with his brother Levi, they wipe out the entire city to avenge what was done to their sister. And as they get the last word, even though Yaakov is upset, their answer is, Hachazaynu yases hachazaynu. Shimon is a kanoi. However, Yaakov is upset with the anger of Shimon, and Yaakov, when he benches the Shvatim, he says, Arur apam ki oz ve'evrosam ki kashosa. Ki ba'apam hargu ish uv'ritzoynam ikru shor. The Torah stresses the af, the evra, the anger that Shimon had. And he uses it in a negative way, although he meant l'shem shemayim, concerning the story with Yosef, where it's Shimon who wants to kill Yosef. From all the Shvatim, the one who's the most responsible is Shimon. He's the one who aggravates his father. And Yaakov Avinu was aggravated for 22 years. That's why we have 22 days of Avelus between Shavuos and Betamos and Tisha B'Av. Every day corresponds to another year of the Avelus of Yaakov Avinu. The one who's the most responsible for this aggravation is Shimon. Esav, on the other hand, Lahavdol, Esav has Kibarav. That's why Esav has a schus. That's why Esav was able to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, because of his Kibur Av. What month does Esav destroy the Beis HaMikdash? The month of Av. The month of Shimon, who lacked in Kibur Av. Shimon, who aggravates his father. Shimon has the letters Min Esav. Shimon has in it the same letters as Min Esav. Shimon is also the same letters as Me'oinesh. Shimon wanted to be Ma'anesh, wanted to punish. Shimon was a punisher. But in a good way. Shimon is a kanoi, cannot tolerate evil. Oyave Hashem, sinu ra. He had a sinna to ra. His sinna to ra veered off a little when it came to the story with Yosef. He doesn't recognize that Yosef was a tzaddik. And therefore he is cursed, scolded by Yaakov Avinu, Arur apam ki oz. And again, another shevet that could have reached great heights doesn't. Just as Reuven, because of the Behola, because of the Pachas, because of his impulsive act, which causes Tammuz to fall, because Tammuz is the month of Reuven, Av falls, which is the month of Shimon, due to what happens with Shimon and Yosef, which later on is what happens with Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael don't get along among themselves. There's division among Klal Yisrael. There's sinas chinam. Shimon is even called that because Shama Hashem kisnua anoichi. In his name, there is the connotation of sinner. He has sinner to Ra, but that sinner went a little further. And the first machlokes in Klal Yisrael, in the history of Klal Yisrael, which later leads to the split of Malchus Beis David and the sinas chinam until the eventual Churban Beis Hamikdash, which we suffer from until today, is the story of Yosef and the brothers, which Shimon is the most responsible. He's the one who says, "Hinei bal hachalaymeis halazeh ba lechu v'nahar gehu." Reuven says no. Yehuda says no. Levi listens to Shimon, but it's Shimon who says, "Vayomer Ishal Achiv." Shimon is the one who wants to kill Yosef. Every midah ra'ah originates from the nations. There are the seven nations. There are other nations. Every nation has a midah ra'ah, which Klal Yisrael, living among them, or even if not living among them, is still influenced by that midah ra'ah. And throughout the long galus, we're supposed to work on those midos ra'os and change them or elevate them or channel them in the right direction or remove them, humble them completely. The midah ra'ah of kaas, anger, which Shimon had, he had it in a positive way. Obviously, he used it to be mekane kinas Hashem. He used it to rescue Dina, to kill the entire city of Shechem, even though he was vilified for doing that. But he also used it against his brother. And here we see Shimon is the most involved in the story of Midian. And the idea is, Midian is the root of anger. Midian is the nation where anger comes from. Midian is the nation of Machloikus. This we see, Rashi tells us in this week's parasha, that the reason why Hashem says take revenge from the Midianim and not from the Moavim, Moav was also involved. Why were they let go? Two interpretations Rashi gives. One is because Rus has to come out of Moav, so Rus cannot be Moav cannot be annihilated yet. The other reason, says Rashi, is this, that Moav at least had a reason to be upset with Klal Yisrael. Moav had a reason to fight the Jews because they thought that the Jews were coming to attack them, even though it wasn't true. But what was Midian's excuse for joining in the fight here? Nis'abru al riv loy lahem. They joined a fight that was not theirs. They loved fighting. It's like someone who sees two people fighting, instead of trying to stop the fight, he's enjoying it. That's worse than those who are fighting. Instead of trying to separate them, he enjoys watching it. Midian is from the word modoin. Modoin means fighting. Modoin umeriva. Nis'abru, Rashi uses, nis'abru from the word evra, which means anger. That's why an Aveira is called an Aveira, Ovar Yutke, because you anger Hashem when you sin. Midian, from the word Midin, Midian was a country of very tough, cruel people. That's why when Pinchas kills Zimri, and Pinchas is the grandchild of Yisrael from his mother's side, who was the Kohen Midian, the Shvatim vilify him and say he didn't do it out of Kanoyas, he did it because he's a grandchild of Yisrael, who was a cruel individual. Why is Yisrael cruel? He fattened calves for Avodah Zarah, but where do you see that he's cruel? Because Midian, the Midianim were cruel people. The Midianim sold Yosef to Mitzrayim. The Hamidonim machru Yosef el Mitzrayim. In fact, one of the reasons that they're fighting Midian now and Pinchas is being sent is because Pinchas is also a grandchild of Yosef and he's going out to take revenge from the Midianim for what they did to his great-grandfather Yosef. Why did Zimri, who was a leader of Shevet Shimon, he was Shlumiel ben Surishada, he was Shaul ben Aknanis, as the Gemara says, why did he take Cosby? Why was Shevet Shimon Nichshal with the Benois Midian more than any other Shevet? And perhaps, and with this we could also understand why Moshe Rabbeinu gets angry in this story, Bola Klal Kas, Ubola Klal Tois. The Pasuk tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu is angry at the generals because they didn't kill the women that they were supposed to. Hachiyisem kol nekeva. They were commanded to go and fight Midian, battle Midian, and Moshe sees that the girls, the women, they let live. And he says, that's the whole reason why we had to go fight them in the first place. It's what the women did to us. How could you let them live? And so they kill them. And Moshe is angry, and as a result, as Chazal tells us, Rashi says he forgot to teach them the halachas of Giulei Nochrim, of Kashering Kalim. He only told them about the Tahara from Tumas Meis. Elazar had to get up and say, Zoyschukas HaTayra, that there's also the halacha of Giulei Nochrim, you have to kasher all the pots and the pans. Well, Ramban asks, how come by Mulchema Sichon Va'oig they didn't have to kasher the pots and the pans? This was not the first war that Klal Yisrael battled the nations. There was a war before this, and there was no mention of any Giulei Nochrim. Why is it first mentioned over here? The Svarim tell us that many times tzaddikim try to humble the tumah by dealing with the tumah in a strange way, by actually joining into the world of that tumah, and sometimes even marrying into the nations in which that tumah exists. We find Shimshon married from the Benois Plishtim. That was in order to combat the Plishtim. He married into that family, into that nation. Shlomo HaMelech married Bas Paroi. Shlomo HaMelech married 1,000 women. Of course, it's a misunderstanding of who Shlomo HaMelech was, but the Svarim tell us that he did that in order to be able to humble the Koiches HaTumah. The Arachayim HaKadosh speaks, whose yahrzeit was at last week, the Arachayim HaKadosh tells us this in Parshas Kisetze concerning the Yifas Toyar. After Dasan and Aviram were fighting, and Moshe Rabbeinu tries to stop them, and Moshe Rabbeinu sees that Machloikis, Lashon Hara, Sinah, Kinah, Kas, anger, is rampant in Klal Yisrael, and he understands that's the reason why Klal Yisrael is suffering in Golus. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Ochein noida hadav," and I know why the Jews deserve to suffer in Mitzrayim. And where does Moshe Rabbeinu go? He's forced to run away because Pari finds out that he killed the Mitzri. So the pasuk says he went to Midian. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu go to Midian for? Moshe went to Midian because he knew that Midian is the source of Kaas, of Sinah, of Machloikas. Midian is the nation of that bad character. And if one wants to humble the Tumah of Midian, one has to go to Midian and deal with Midian, which is the reason why many times Tzaddikim went to certain parts of the world
lived there, and when they lived in these parts of the world, they humbled the Tumah, they're making it easier later for B'nai Yisrael to deal with it, like Yosef HaTzadik, who went down to Mitzrayim before Klal Yisrael did, and so on. Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Midian, not only he goes to Midian, he marries a Midianite. Moshe couldn't marry a regular Jewish girl. Moshe couldn't marry a daughter of one of the Shvatim, a grandchild of one of the Shvatim. He marries Bas Yisrael. In fact, that's what Zimri says to Moshe Rabbeinu when he brings Cosby to him. He says, Bas Yisrael, mihi tiralach, whoever allowed you to marry the daughter of Yisrael. What's really going on over here? He should have said, whoever allowed you to marry a Goyish woman, you're angry at me that I married Cosby. What about you? You married Bas Yisrael. And of course, what's the comparison? Moshe Rabbeinu married Tzipora before the Torah was given. This is after the Torah was given. How can you compare? But really, there's a depth to this story. Moshe Rabbeinu married Bas Yisrael purposely, went to Midian there to humble that tumah of machloikus, of kaas, which originates from Midian. And that's why you find that Vayomer Hashem al Moshe b'Midian, it says in the pasuk, Leich shuv Mitzrayim, ki meisu kol hu anoshim ha-mevakshim es nafshecha. The Baalei machloikus are dead, even though they were living. No, they're not fighting anymore. It says in the Medrash, it says the Jews left Mitzrayim in the schus of not speaking Lashon Hara. Yet we know that that was the reason they were in Golis. Obviously, they stopped. They stopped after Moshe Rabbeinu went to Midian, humbling the Tumah of Midian. He married Bas Yisrael. The Tumah subsided somewhat, and in Mitzrayim, they stopped speaking Lashon Hara, and then they were Zeichet to the Geula. Being that Shimon, Shevet Shimon, was guilty of the Kaas, they were guilty of this because it was Shimon who fought Yosef. He's the one who said, let's kill Yosef. So Shimon had that character. Shimon was drawn to Midian because Shimon was very similar to Midian. Shimon is in Kedusha what Midian is in Tumah. So Shimon had this anger in them, this sinner, the trend to Machloikas. That's why Zimri, who was the leader of Shevet Shimon, wants to do the same thing that Moshe Rabbeinu did. Moshe went to Midian and married Bas Yisrael. So Zimri wants to marry Cosby. He thinks if he'll marry Cosby, he'll humble the Tumah of Midian. And he takes with him 24,000 members of Shevet Shimon who do the same. This might sound strange. Someone will say, yes, why are they punished so severely? Because now this could not be done. Moshe Rabbeinu could have done it. Because at that time, it's still possible to draw Nitzutzei Kedusha from Midian. Once there is no more Kedusha left in a specific nation, this cannot be done. Moav, it could be done. There's still Rus. Rus has to come out. Not Midian. Midian had one spark of Kedusha that had to come out eventually, and that was Pinchas. Once Pinchas was born, there is absolutely no Kedusha in Midian anymore. The way to combat Midian is not by joining or marrying into the Midianim and trying to humble the Tumah that way. The only way to combat the Tumah of Midian now is by totally annihilating Midian. So they were mistaken, but their Kavanah was L'shem Shemayim. They wanted to humble the Tumah that way. And that's why Zimri says to Moshe Rabbeinu, the question is, Bas Yisrael mihi tiru l'cha. Not, how are you allowed to marry a non-Jewish woman? The idea here is not the non-Jewish woman. The idea is, you were allowed to marry the daughter of Yisrael. You did it in order to humble the Tumah of Midian. That's precisely why I'm doing it. So why you're allowed to do it and I'm not allowed to do it. So here it's not before Matan Torah, after Matan Torah. He believes that he's allowed to do the same thing. And of course he's wrong. And it's Pinchas who kills him. Pinchas is the one who is the spark of, is that spark that came out of Midian. Pinchas is the grandchild of Yisrael. Pinchas ends up killing Zimri. And that's Zimri's tikkun. Because of Pinchas, the rest of Shevet Shimon don't die out in the Magepha. 24,000 die, the Magepha stops because Shimon kills Zimri. It seems from that that the Magepha would have continued. There were still other sinners. But because Pinchas kills Zimri, the Magepha ends. However, in this parasha we're reading now here, Nekoim Nikmas Hashem Me'ez HaMidyonim, there was an opportunity here to eradicate Midian totally, thus that would have eradicated Kaas. There would be no more anger in the world. Because Kaas originates from Midian. But again, as many opportunities throughout history, the opportunity here is not totally fulfilled, because what happens here is they don't wipe out all the Benois Midian. And Moshe Rabbeinu gets angry. Moshe is Bola Klal Kaas. The fact that Moshe gets angry means there's still anger in the world. What they were supposed to do was kill them all out and totally annihilate them, and thus that would have wiped out Kas and Machloikus for good, and that would have brought us into the era of Geula. Instead, they didn't. The same mistake that Shaul HaMelech makes. Shaul is told to wipe out Amalek totally. He lets Agag live. He lets the animals live. Maybe we should open the door. No? He lets the animals live. The air conditioning doesn't work yet. And as a result, Shaul, who's the Mashiach Hashem, Shaul, who could have been Mashiach, he says Shaul would have built the Beis HaMikdash had he wiped out Amalek totally. He loses the Melucha because he let Agag live, and we still suffer from Amalek until today. The same thing over here. There's still a Midian today. You see it in Tehillim constantly. You see later on in Tanakh that the Midianim still came and fought Klal Yisrael. They weren't totally annihilated here. One would say, it doesn't say in the Pasuk straight out that they should be. Nekayim Nikmas B'nei Yisrael, take revenge from the Midianim. It doesn't say, like Zechayah Kol Neshama. But it was an opportunity to wipe out Midian. The opportunity was lost. And as a result, there's still Kas in the world. Because there's still Kas, but Moshe leklal Kas. Moshe gets angry here. Moshe represents Klal Yisrael. If Moshe gets angry, that means that Klal Yisrael is still getting angry. That means that the Kas and the Machlokes is still here. We're not ready for Geula yet. If we're not ready for Geula yet, we have to Kasha v'Kelem. What does that mean? What's the reason, says the Ramban, why by Melchemes Sichon Ve'oig they didn't have to kasher the Kalim? So the Ramban says, because the Gemara says that when they used to fight the wars in Eretz Yisrael, they were allowed to eat treif. Afilu kadli dachaziri hutru lehem. The Pasuk says, Botim Meleim kol tuv. When they entered Eretz Yisrael, they ravaged the houses, they looted, and they took all the food, and they ate it. And they ate, it says, they ate pork. Botim Meleim kol tuv. Afilu kadli dachaziri. The Ramban writes in Hilchos Melachim at the beginning, in Perek Ches, that when you're fighting a war, you're allowed to eat non-kosher food. Now, somewhere in the Rambam says only if there's no other food. There are others who say that it's mutter lechatchila when they're battling Melchemes Eretz Yisrael. What's the pshat? Now, obviously, we're not talking halachically now. What's the deeper understanding of this? La'osid lavai chazir is mutter, as the Medrash says. Osid ha-chazir li-tahech. La'osid lavai, the koiches ha-tumah are gone. When the koiches ha-tumah are gone, they don't have the ill effect anymore. When Klal Yisrael is fighting Melchemes Eretz Yisrael, it's a ha'orah of la'osid lavi. When we're fighting the wars in Eretz Yisrael, we're entering Eretz Yisrael, we're battling for Eretz Yisrael. I wouldn't say that today, but at that time, even today perhaps, al pi halacha could be mutter if there's no other food, according to the Rambam, yes. But in Melchemes Eretz Yisrael, especially in the Melchama of the Shiva Amonim, and Sichon Ve'oig was a hachana to Melchemes Eretz Yisrael, because the land that they took away from Sichon Ve'oig, which is originally Amon and Moav, which will be ours in the future, so that's Eretz Yisrael, the La'osid. Being that it has to do with land of Eretz Yisrael, says the Ramban, that it was mutter for them to eat non-kosher. He doesn't say why, though. He doesn't say, what's the difference, why that war yes, and this war not. And perhaps we can say, based on what we're saying now, that being that Melchemes Sichon Ve'oig is a ha'ara of la'osid lavai, it's preparation for Eretz Yisrael of the future when osid ha'chazir li'tahir, when the tumah is gone, v'yasruach ha'tumah avrim min ha'oretz. So that's why it was mutter for them. Here it also would have been mutter for them, because if they would have eradicated Midian totally, if they would have wiped out Midian, if they would have removed the kas, the sinah, the machloikus, which originates from Midian, this would have been Yemais HaMashiach. What's the reason why we're in Golus? We're in Golus because there's Kas, because there's Sinah, because there's Machlokes. Get rid of the Machlokes, there's no more Golus. It's time for Geula. Midian is gone. When Midas HaDin is eradicated, when the Midian is wiped out, that's the time for the Geula. Just like if Shaul would have wiped out Amalek, it would have been the time for the Geula. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was hoping not to have to teach them about the halachas of Geula and Nochrim. Just like you didn't have to kasha the Kalim by Melchemes Sichon Ve'oig, you shouldn't have the kasha of a kelim here either. But as soon as Moshe leklal kas, when Moshe gets angry, and that proves that we're not living in the olam ha'tikun, because there's still kas in the world, and they did not wipe out all the girls like they were supposed to. Hachiyisem kol nekeiva. So now it's necessary to teach them gigulei nochrim. So right after Moshe leklal kas, bo leklal tois, as Rashi says, kas leads to tois. Elazar has to teach them the halachas of gigulei nochrim. This we read now in the midst of the 3 weeks, which is a time of anger. It's a time when Hashem was angry at us. In fact, in this week's parasha, we end off Matos, when the Torah talks to us at the Bnei Reuven and the Bnei Gad, who wanted to take their portion of land on the other side of the Yarden. So Moshe Rabbeinu thinks that they're repeating The same story with the Meraglim. Moshe Rabbeinu says, don't you remember what happened with the Meraglim? Vayichar af Hashem b'Yisrael. And Hashem got angry at Klal Yisrael. Vayichar af Hashem b'ayoyim hahu v'yishova leimor. Hashem got angry and he swore. Anger leads to swearing. The Pasha begins with the topic of promises and swearing. If a person makes a neder, a person makes a shvua, it's not so much that the Torah is teaching us that if you swear or you promise, you have to keep to your word. That's also part of it. The main topic in this parasha, though, is removing the nether, removing the shvua. The fact that a chacham could be matir a nether, and a chacham is oikir a nether meikaroi. A father can annul the nedarim of his daughter, a husband of his wife. But why do people make promises? Why do people swear? Because people get angry. When people get angry, they make promises. They swear, I'm not going to go to your house, I'm not going to eat from you, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that. That's why Nedarim is despised by Chazal. Unless it's a Siyog Laprishus, Chazal were not happy with those who made Nedarim. And therefore, they always gave room. There was always a possibility for one to be able to annul his Neder by going to a Chacham. A Chacham came out to a Neder. A Chacham asked you, why did you make the Neder? Well, I was angry. Oh, how do you feel now? I'm not angry now. My anger calmed down. Hafaras Nedarim is calming anger. Removing the Neder means removing the anger. The Pasuk says, V'hofer ka'as cha'me'imonu. The word hafar is also used to remove ka'as, to remove anger. And kaviyachol by Hashem too. When Hashem gets angry, he swears. And he swore that Klal Yisrael can't go into Eretz Yisrael. When we get angry, we anger Hashem. When we calm down, we calm Hashem down. Divrei Chachamim benachas nishmoim. Nachas. Nachas means low key, low tone of voice. The Ramban, in his famous Igeris, writes his son, the first thing he starts off is that you have to talk on a low tone, you have to be very soft-spoken, and never get angry. And he says, because Kol HaKoye, he said, the Gemara says in the Dorim, Kol Minei Gehinoim Shelten Boi, Shenemar, V'hoser kas mi libecha v'ha'aveh ro'a mi b'sorecha v'ein ro'a ela gehinam shenem v'gam rosh liyayim ro'a. Gehenim is ro'a. Kas leads to gehenim. When a person gets angry, he's full of gehenim. That's why we say he's hot-tempered. We don't say he's cool-tempered. When a person is angry, he's hot. There's heat coming out of him. Because kas comes from esh. It's from the fire that's within us. When we calm down, we cool off. You tell a person who's angry to cool it. You don't tell him to heat it. He's hot already. You tell him to cool it. You tell him to calm down. V'chamas ha-melech shachocha. Kaas is rooted in gaiva. A person, a bal gaiva, gets angry quick. He's angry. How dare you say this to me? How dare you start up with me? Kaas leads to machloikas. It leads to sinna, to kinna, and to all the midos rois. That's why the Rambam writes that when it comes to anger, you have to go to the other extreme. Menachem Av, the month of Av, is the month in which the anger of Hashem was let out on us, unfortunately. We lost our Beis HaMikdash. The Pasuk says, V'loi Zohar Hashem B'yoyim Apoy. Hashem didn't remember the Beis HaMikdash on the day of his wrath. There's Charoin Af. However, we call the month Menachem Av. Menachem not only means consolation, comfort. Menachem also comes from the word Nachas, to calm. Menachem Av, we hope to calm our father, Avinu Shebashamayim. We hope to calm down his anger. By working on the midah of kaas, by eradicating kaas, sinna and machloikus, unnecessary hatred, which is rooted in Midian, who nis'abru al riv lo elohem, we have to fight Midian now. The fact that we learn in Parshas Matos Masai, in Parshas Matos specifically, about Melchemes Midian, that means even though right now we're not fighting the actual country of Midian, but what Midian represents, the kaas, the sinna, the machloikus, that's what we have to be fighting now. Pinchas was sent here to fight Midian. Pinchas is the Mashuach Mulchama. Pinchas is the Enekel, the grandchild of Yisrael, the Kohen Midian, who was the Gilgal of Kayin. Kayin was the first one to get angry. Pinchas fights Midian, just as we find that Oivadi, the Gemara says, is a Ger Adoimi, and he's the one who prophesies concerning the Mapola of Edoim. Mineu Be, Hashem uses the members of that very same nation to prophesize the downfall of that nation. Avadya, his nevuah was the Mapola of Edom, because he comes from Edom. Who fights Midian? Pinchas fights Midian. Moshe Rabbeinu sends Pinchas to fight Midian. This is considered Moshe Rabbeinu's war, because Moshe married a Midianite. Moshe lived in Midian. Moshe knows what Midian's all about. Moshe is dealing with Midian here. Yosef had tzaddik, on the other hand, Shimon was angry. Yosef never got angry. It says we learned from Yosef the way he dealt with his brothers. He did not take revenge. That Yosef doesn't have the midah of kas. Yosef is the word pius. Pius means to appease. Yosef is the appeaser. At the end of the story in Parashas Vayechi, it says Vayinachem Oysam. He comforts them. He calms down their anger. He calms them down. Yosef is the appeaser. And that's why in this parasha we learn about how Menashe receives a portion on both sides of the Yarden. There's a famous question that Mefarshim asks, what's Menashe doing here? Reuven and Gad asked for a portion of land on the other side of the Yarden, so they're the ones that should be given the portion if they deserve it. Yet the pasuk says, Moshe did not only give Reuven and Gad, Vayitain Moshe levnei Reuven levnei Gad, but achatzi shevet Menashe. Who's talking about Menashe? Menashe never asked for this. Why are you giving it to Menashe? And then later in Parshas Maasai, again we talk about the Benois Slavchad, who are grandchildren of Menashe, of Yosef, and how they have to marry their first cousins, they have to stay within the Shevet, so that the vision of Eretz Yisrael should be complete. They were worried that if they're going to marry out of the Shevet, then the portion of land that they're going to receive is going to end up going to another Shevet, it's going to be all confused. So it's through Yosef, through Menashe, through the Benois Slavchad, that the division of Eretz Yisrael is solidified. Through them, they had the Schus, and Menashe has the great Schus of having a portion of land in Eretz Yisrael on both sides. The part that's Eretz Yisrael now, and the part that will be Eretz Yisrael in the future. Why him? There is a medrash that says that it was a punishment for Menashe, because Menashe was the one that was sent by Yosef to tell the brothers that someone stole the goblet, and then he may believe like they didn't know, and then it was Menashe who stuck his hands in the gavia, in the amtachas of Binyamin, and he took out the silver goblet. And then when that happened, it says all the brothers ripped their clothes. So Menashe indirectly caused them to rip their garments. So his punishment is that his portion of land is like ripped. It's not in one place. It's on one side and it's on the other side. But why is that a punishment? He has two separate portions. He has a portion here and he has a portion there. It sounds like it's a positive thing. Moshe Rabbeinu was giving it to him as a gift here. And it's interesting. Shimon receives a portion of land within someone else's portion. We find that the Nachla of Shimon is within the swallowed in the Nachla of Yehuda. Rashi brings it in Parshas Vayis HaBracha, where it says that Moshe Rabbeinu did not give a bracha to Shimon, because Moshe was very upset with Shimon, what happened with the story of Shittim. So it says he hinted a bracha to Shimon in Yehuda, Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda. And there Rashi says, and when Shimon took a portion of land in Eretz Yisrael, not al Shimon mitoich goyroloi shel Yehuda. So it doesn't seem like Shimon had a portion of land that was clearly his. It was like sort of swallowed within the portion of land of Yehuda. Yet Yosef, Menashe, has two outstanding chalakim. One on one side of the eye, the one on the other. That's the reward for not getting angry, and that's the punishment for getting angry. Eretz Yisrael doesn't tolerate anger. Eretz Yisrael, v'chiper ad mosai amoy. Eretz Yisrael is the land that appeases. The Hirtzos as Shapsoi Seha, the Pasuk says in Parshas Bechukosai. Eretz Yisrael is the land of peace. Eretz Yisrael doesn't tolerate machloikas. Shimon, because of the kas, because of the anger of Shimon, because of his role in Mechiras Yosef, therefore his portion of land in Eretz Yisrael is like hidden. It's not outright. You don't see it. It's swallowed within the portion of land of Yehuda. Yosef, however, who is the Mephayes, Yosef who does not fight, Yosef, who does not get angry, Yosef, who does not take revenge, in this parasha we read how he gets on both sides of the Yarden. And how through his descendants, the division of Eretz Yisrael is solidified. This we learn in the 3 weeks, as the Shalach HaKadosh writes, that the parasha is that you lay in at a specific time, and he mentions it specifically here. This is all year round. We try to show all year round how the parasha has to do with the time that we're in. But he mentions it specifically in Parashas Matthes, Matthes and Devarim. He says these three parashas are always read in the 3 weeks. And the time that we commemorate, we mourn the tragedy that is a result of sinah, of kas, of sinas chinam, of machloikas, of hatred, originating with Shimon's battle against Yosef. And it's here where the Mulchema of Midian takes place. And Pinchas is taking revenge for what Midian did to Shimon. It's a tikkun for Shimon. Even though Shimon falls with the Benois Midian, as we mentioned before, because they felt that this was a way that they could misaken their kas by humbling the Tumah of Midian, marrying into the family there, marrying into that nation, just like Moshe Rabbeinu did with Bas Yisrael and Shimshon and others. They were wrong. And now we are fighting Midian, we're taking revenge for what Midian did to Shimon. And it's interesting that here Rashi tells us that this was revenge for what was done to Yosef HaTzadik. Why now, all of a sudden? All of a sudden now we're waking up that we should take revenge from Midian for what they did in selling Yosef to Mitzrayim. But based on what we just said, the connection is very clear now. Because the reason we're fighting Midian is because Midian is the originator of Machloikas. That's where all Sinna and Kinna and Kaas originates from, which is why there was a Mechiras Yosef. Why did Midian sell Yosef to Mitzrayim? Because Shimon wanted to kill Yosef. Shimon wanted to kill Yosef. Yehuda says, no, we're not going to kill him. We're going to sell him instead. The reason why the Midianim sell him to Mitzrayim is really indirectly because of Shimon's hatred to Yosef more than the other brothers. The Midianim sell him to Mitzrayim. Now's the time to take revenge from Midian to eradicate Machloikas, to eradicate Kas, and take Nakama for what the Midianim did to Yosef. Now, the Midian was not the only one who sold Yosef to Mitzrayim. There was another nation that sold Yosef to Mitzrayim. That's Yishmael. The Golos that we're now currently in. Currently now we're in Golos Yishmael. Just heard before, about an hour ago, there was a report that they're having an emergency meeting now and the higher-ups, because they have information, the Rahman al-Islam, that they're planning another, they're planning something. So whatever, we hear this constantly. But this is Yishmael, now especially now that it's the 3 weeks now, as the 9 days begin. Yishmael is just as guilty as Midian was in selling Yosef to Mitzrayim. The Torah makes a big deal about taking revenge from Midian for their role in selling Yosef. Imagine the revenge that's going to be done to Yishmael for their role in selling Yosef HaTzadik. And more than that, for their role in what's happening now. They were the only ones who started up at the kever of Yosef HaTzadik. It was just a few years ago when it was the Yishmaelim who desecrated the kever of Yosef HaTzadik. Yishmael always had it for Yosef, for the Kedusha of Yosef. Yishmael has the same Shoirish as Shimon. Shimon is Shin Mem Ayin. Yishmael is Shin Mem Ayin. Yishmael, Yishmakel. The month of Av, which is the month of Shimon, is a month to intensify our tefillahs, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will listen to our tefillahs. Why is Shimon called Shimon? Ki Shoma Hashem, Ki Snua Anoichi. Shoma Hashem, Hashem heard. Heard what? Obviously we daven, He listens. If you daven, then Hashem is going to listen. In fact, Av is the month in which our tefillahs were not niskabel, but we don't say tiskabel on Tisha B'Av for that reason. It says, Sosam tefillasi, V'gam ki tarbel lehispavel, eini shemeya. It says that it was such a low time that our tefillahs did not reach Shamayim. It was a time when Hashem did not accept our tefillahs. So therefore, we got to daven better. When you knock on the door, if there's someone who's there doesn't answer, you knock harder. You ring the bell. You ring the bell a few times until the person that's there answers. So if Hashem didn't answer us then, He'll answer us now. Av is the month to intensify our tefillahs. It's the month of Shimon, and through the avodah of tefillah, which is hinted in the word Shimon, we're mevatel Yishmael is malei kaas. Yishmael is the v'hu yeh pera adam. We see today yadai ba'kerl v'yad kerl boy. He angers the entire world, and the whole world is angry at him. Everyone is angry at the Yishmaelim. Wherever they go, they're taking over, and the entire world is angry at them. They're infusing anger in the world, and that's the chet that brought about the Churban Beis Hamikdash. And as we enter the month of Menachem Av, the month in which we hope that Hashem is going to calm His anger, just as we read here about Nikoyim Nikmas Hashem Eis Hamidyonim Achar Teyosef El Amecha, the final war before Moshe Rabbeinu's Petira is to eradicate Midian. So too, we're holding now, right before the final moments of Geula, where the main reason why we're in Golus is because of Sinas Chinam and Machloikas. That's the key to Geula, is Ahavas Yisrael, Ahavas Chinam, removing the Kaas, removing the anger, working on anger control, or anger management, whatever they call it. Working on Kaas, and on Kinna, and Sinna, and Sinas Chinam and Machloikas, which is eradicating Midian, that was going to bring the Geula. And that's the Pasha ends off here with the story of Reuven and Gad and Chatzi Shevet Menashe. This portion of land is going to be ours in the future. This is the part of Eretz Yisrael that will be ours when Mashiach will come.
You said through the Avodah of Shimon what?
The reason why he's called Shimon is because Shama Hashem. Hashem listened. And those Hashem has to listen. Hashem's going to listen. Meaning we're crying out to Him. We're davening to Him. Intensifying our tefillah and rectifying that which Shimon, the mistake of, if we can call it a mistake, who are we to compare ourselves to Shimon? But the Torah just tells us that Shimon's role in Mechiras Yosef, Shimon wanting to kill Yosef, Shimon being angry. I mean, Yaakov says, "Oror apam ki oz ve'evrosam ki koshosa." This is the month now to rectify Shimon, to rectify the anger, so that Shimon can have a tikkun. When Shimon has a tikkun, that's when Chodesh Av has a tikkun. Moshe Rabbeinu was Misakin Reuven. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Yechi Reuven Val Yomais, which means Moshe Rabbeinu was Misakin Tammuz. Tammuz is Reuven. Moshe Rabbeinu was not Misakin Shimon. Moshe Rabbeinu does not ben Shimon, and neither does Yaakov. It's awaiting a tikkun for the future. Mashiach is going to be Misakin Shimon. Because Mashiach will be Misakin Chodesh Menachem of. Mashiach, who the Gemara says his name is Menachem, he's the Menachem, the one who will be Menachem us, the one who's going to comfort us, is going to be Misakin Chodesh Menachem of. That in this month, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger will calm, and he'll be Menachem us with Binyan Beis HaMikdash. In fact, the Medrash says, Chodesh Av is the month of the lion, Mazel Aryeh, that in this month, Nebuchadnezzar was compared to a lion, Ola Aryeh Misubchai destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, which is compared to a lion. In the month of the lion, Aryeh, which is Chodesh Av, in order that Hashem will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, which is called Aryeh, in the month of Aryeh, which is the month of Menachem Av. So according to this Yalkut, it's the Yalkut of Melachim, it's Mashma, that the Beis HaMikdash will be built in Chodesh Av. It's also Mashma like that from the Gemara at the end of Tainus, where it says, where it talks about Hamisha Asa B'Av, and we end off, Yehiratzayin Sheyibon Beis HaMikdash, at the last Mishnah in Tainus, where Mepharshim say, based on that last Mishnah in Tainus, that it's Mashma that Binyan Beis HaMikdash will be in the vicinity of Hamisha Asa B'Av, or perhaps even in the vicinity of Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is the day that we lost the Beis HaMikdash. What better day to have our Beis HaMikdash restored than Tisha B'Av itself? The day that we lost it, that should be the day that we get it back. May we utilize the lessons and the directions of this parasha properly and fight the Midian that exists in each and every one of us, the Kaas, which even Moshe Rabbeinu, Bola Klal Kaas, Bola Klal Toz. When there's no Kaas, there's no Toz. When we remove Kaas, there's no more mistakes. There's clarity. Anger brings confusion. When we see the person gets angry, he loses himself, he does crazy things, he can't even believe later that he said that, I said that, I did that, how could that be? That's how terrible Kaas is. When a person enters into the Gehenna of Kaas, he enters the world that's higher than logic. It's the Adala Yada, but the wrong Adala Yada. He does things that he shouldn't do. And call me Gehinam Shultan, but to the point that the Gemara says that whoever gets angry is Ki'ilu Eivir Avodah. May we remove the Kaas, may we remove the sinner. Maybe work on our midos, tikkun amidos, which is that's what's going to bring the geula. Tikkun amidos and intensify our tefillos, especially in a time like now. We need Klal Yisrael, the whole world needs major tefillos, major protection, which of course the only way we're going to get that protection is by putting our betachin in Hashem. True security comes from Hashem himself. Betach b'Hashem v'asei toiv. And maybe all merit to see the geula immediately, and that the 9 days that are coming should be the happiest 9 days of the year. Amen.